have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Being proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength, herbal organ cleanses, and body foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at www.thepowerherbs.com. Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. I'm here to empower you. That's what we like to do on Herb Talk. We're going to empower you this evening. Yes, yes, yes. All right, magical engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. Heads up, we're going to be talking about doctor bribes. Uh-oh. What's up with the new study there? Also, we're going to cover our gallbladder that we didn't get in last time, and we'll see if we got any time for other stuff. And we do have our quack report. Can't leave that out. And before we get to all that good stuff, we're gonna say big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. And I'm seeking Lord's face every day. I'm hitting the knees, and sincerity and fear, you know, respectful fear. I am seeking Lord's face, and hope you are too. I did bring my devotional today. I know you guys like this part. So 1 Chronicles 16 and Matthew 6, and it goes like this. Save your best striving for seeking my face. I am constantly communicating with you. to find me and hear my voice, you must seek me above all else. Anything you desire more than me becomes an idol. And when you are determined to get your own way, you blot me out of your consciousness. Instead of single-mindedly pursuing some goal, talk with me about it. Let the light of my presence shine on this pursuit so that you can see it from my perspective. If the goal fits into my plans for you, I will help you reach it. If it is contrary to my will for you, I will gradually change the desire of your heart. So seek me first and foremost, then the rest of your life will fall into place piece by piece. Amen to that. And I hope you are seeking the Lord's face. Find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, Venezuelans not having it so good. Devastation in Venezuela continues. The country is running short on valuable life-saving medications and other necessities. So citizens not so healthy these days. 85 out of 100 medications are no longer available there. So they're struggling with that. They can't find anticonvulsant drugs, which are the toughest medicines to find now. So everything from a simple antibiotic to advanced drugs for AIDS treatments are impossible to find. And drugs for treating convulsions, depression, bipolar disorders have especially been difficult to obtain. So medical facilities are in dire straits. Doctors have been warning that the struggle the hospitals and private practices are facing. Even keeping basic items like syringes and anesthetics in stock has been difficult. Hospitals have also been reporting a lack of basic necessities for sanitation purposes. So unable to gain access to medication or even medical care is now the norm there. Now, I want you to just think about it. I mean, we're not immune to this kind of stuff here in America, God forbid, right? So keep that in mind, right? And also, they said children are dying of malnutrition, dehydration, and other treatable illnesses. So corruption in Venezuela is killing people, according to Hannah Desiree, Associate Press. She says the money that should be used to import and solve these problems has disappeared. End of quote. Lift them up in prayer. Also, popular heartburn drugs are silently causing kidney damage. People that are using them. Yep, heartburn drugs. We talked about this. The proton pump inhibitors causing chronic and even end-stage renal failure without any prior warning, according to a study that was conducted from Washington University School of Medicine and the Veterans Affairs at St. Louis Healthcare System. Their information was published in the Journal of Kidney International, and these drugs are used by 15 million people yearly in the United States alone. So our results indicate kidney problems can develop silently and gradually over time, eroding kidney function, leading to long-term kidney damage and even renal failure. So there you go. Also, contaminated seafood from China is flooding the United States, so we're not safe. Seafood laced with antibiotics flooding the marketplace here. Most of the seafood's coming from China, where it's most likely raised on pig feces. So they have animal livestock pens scattered along the Chinese fisheries, and what they do is they take the feces from the animal farms and they throw it down the pipe that empties into the pond. So what fattens the pig, they say, fattens the fish. However, the pigs have been on antibiotics and it gets into the fish feed. So about 80% of the seafood in the United States is imported, and a good portion of that is Chinese origin. Now, the FDA found in 2016, 25% of the fish and seafood coming from China had traces of chemicals that were forbidden to be used here in the United States, unapproved drugs and things and additives. Wild-caught Chinese fish, a little bit better, but they still, in their fishery areas, are deeply contaminated with chemical fertilizers, heavy metals, industrial waste. So all the frozen seafood you see at Walmart coming from China, it says China. also grocery store chains, probably using the same distributors because it looks like the same packaging to me. So always, always read. And last but not least in the Quack Report, have you not noticed your water bill lately? I have. Lord have mercy. In the last decade, water has just gotten really expensive. So residents across America are noticing the cost of their water and sewage fees going up the past few years. A lot of states are upping the charges so they can repair damaged and old water infrastructures. Now, Baltimore, their residents, a 33% water increase charge over a three-year plan. They said their sewer rates will go up by 9%. Chicago, on the other hand, they decided to raise water rates not to fix their infrastructure, but to fix their Chicago bond rate junk status in their public institute of, their pension plan is what I'm trying to say. They're trying to save their pension plan. They need $18.6 billion. Yep, unfunded liability will do that to you. According to the United Nations General Assembly in 2010, they said water is recognized as a human right. So when people don't have access to water and they can't afford the high taxes on water, it compromises health. So you have the makings of what is called a water cartel. So in some areas, there have been severe drainage of the U.S. underground reservoirs. And so, FYI, if you're prepping out there, water. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about the doctor bribes. So, you know, it's not anything new, you know, that physicians, like anybody else, could be tempted to accept a kickback or a bribe. However, what once was a seldom occurrence has now become a kind of subsidized healthcare incentive for medical practitioners. Now, according to research from the Cenedim Strategic Data, in 2013, they said pharmaceutical companies spent $24 billion marketing their drugs to doctors. And the Hippocratic Oath has kind of fallen by the wayside, as doctors today think of that thing as an outdated ceremonial relic. You know, don't need that. However, the oath reminds doctors that they promise patients to do no harm. So if medical practitioners are selling out to drug companies, patients have less protection from the industry that has become more corrupt by the year. So let's take a look at this immoral trend and how it could be detrimental to your health. First, we're going to talk about the history of the bribe. I find this fascinating when you look at how things started. So when we take a closer look at what is subsidized these days, we can confirm that human health is on the list. We often think of subsidies as financial assistance, but it also means to secure the cooperation through bribery. So the word subsidy has a history. Since 1815, the word often meant to pay for or to hire mercenaries or to buy an alliance or neutrality, which is all another way to say bribe. And it wasn't until 1828 that the term subsidized was used to describe government grant money, which people interpreted as a way to remove a tax burden. Therefore, a financial subsidy is often an exchange or purchase for something. So students who get educational subsidies have to qualify by cooperating with the government demands. Farmers who want government subsidies have to agree to certain conditions, such as, you know, what they can grow and what price they can sell their crop at. Other examples of subsidies are welfare checks and housing loans. So in general, a subsidy extends to tax allowances, your tax return, duty taxes, rebates, employment regulations, investment regulations, economic regulations, transportation, and now government health care. So in effect, every person at some point is confronted into accepting a subsidy. So here's what you should know. Medical professionals have had to bear the cost of the Affordable Care Act regarding compliance issues. So they are under pressure to cooperate with the new healthcare system until, of course, it's replaced with something else. So according to a study at Drexel Dormsyf School of Public Health, and it was done by Genevieve Farm-Cantor, she's a PhD, she said approximately two-thirds of Americans are now under a licensed doctor's care. So the new healthcare system is swift to collect data, and it tracks what doctors are paid. So the Open Payments government site is reporting on pharmaceutical and medical device payments to doctors. And the data reveals that 65% of the physicians are receiving payments or gifts from pharmaceutical or companies developing medical devices. So only 5% of patients are aware that their doctor may be receiving monetary incentives by these companies. So according to Dr. Farm-Cantor's research, the healthcare professionals heavily accepting money are in the areas or the field of orthopedic surgeons, obstetricians, and gynecologists. So in the orthopedic segment of the medical industry, especially if you're outside the U.S., patients are sold replacement body parts they don't need. So the kickbacks or these bribes doctors are accepting is not in the patient's best interest, and patients need to research their options and their medical provider. So you might be wondering, well, how are they getting paid? That was one question people were asking during Dr. Farm-Cantor's survey. You know, it was how doctors are getting paid. What form of payment are they getting? Well, aside from the suitcase of cash, what is attracting your doctor to hold his hand out is the bribes come in different forms, but the ones that are more subtle are the ones doctors are going for because they are easier to camouflage as something else on paper. For instance, a drug company may reward a doctor for pushing their name brand drug instead of the generic drugs, or maybe for recommending their medical device by inviting the doctor to speak and then paying them a speaking fee, usually in the six figures. So other compensation would be travel trips, research gifts, interest ownership in the company, like stock. So according to Dr. Farm-Cantor, the physician that is writing $2 to $3 million worth of drug prescriptions can be rewarded by drug companies in the $200,000 to $500,000 range. So in the case of the painkillers, fentanyl, that's the equivalent of 33,333 prescriptions per year or 91 prescriptions per day for that one drug. So this can turn a medical doctor into a street drug pusher. So the study shows that from 2013 to 2015, the drug companies paid $727 million to doctors and hospitals for pushing the allergy drug Zoloft and the antiviral drug Tamiflu. So to confirm the study, the ProPublica researched this in 2016, and what they stated is that doctors who take the kickbacks from the drug companies prescribed higher percentages of the brand name drugs compared to their colleagues or their counterparts. So we're supposed to believe, though, that the money payments, the gifts, the stock options, they don't influence the doctors, and it doesn't benefit the drug company. Yeah, I got a bridge to sell you, or some swampland. You pick. So the higher power says money answereth all things, right? Ecclesiastes 10:19. So also, if bribes were not a moral problem in healthcare, we wouldn't have the need for transparency sites like Open Payments and the Sunshine Law to try to keep physicians honest. Now, Dr. Farm-Cantor's study was published in the 2017 Journal of General Internal Medicine. And you know what? There's another influence we have to mention for these doctors, you know. Medical professionals often take classes to continue their education in their field, and it may also be part of their accreditation requirement to maintain their medical license. But what the public doesn't know is that the pharmaceutical and the medical device industries sponsor over a third of these medical training classes and publish the materials used in the class. So this makes for cozy bedfellows and conflicts of interest. So it makes you wonder why the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education puts up with that, allows it, you know? Here's a quote from Chris Wright. He's with AZ Associates and Legal Consultants. He says, drug companies will not stop wooing doctors. They may simply get better at it. Yeah, more subtle, more covert. Also, here's a quote from Michelle Mello, Stanford lawyer. She says, drug companies have long known that even a small gift to a physician can be influential, and research validates the notion that they tend to induce feelings of reciprocity. End of quote. Well, let's track the drugs a little bit, because an area of pharmaceutical business notorious for paying kickbacks on drugs is the pain opioid drug area. So this had contributed to patients becoming addicts on these drugs. So drug companies hire physicians to talk with other doctors in their practices to influence them to prescribe these drugs. Drug companies refer to these persuasive physicians as, quote, speaker bureaus. Did you hear about that? I thought that was an interesting, tag. Here's a quote from John Roper, sales manager at Isis Therapeutic Incorporated. He says, we invest a lot of time, money, blood, sweat, and tears on our guys. We hire only the best of the best to be part of our speaker bureau, and dropping money counts. So, you know, bribe money, script, as he puts it. So interestingly, though, Mr. Roper here and two other employees were arrested in September 2016, allegedly for a medical kickback scheme. Roper was said to have pleaded guilty in a Connecticut federal court to paying physicians, nurses, and physician assistants at speaking events in exchange for pushing the drug fentanyl. So there is abuse and misuse of the painkiller medications in the industry, which manufactures and prescribes them. This problem has been going on for years, but when the musician Prince died of a fentanyl overdose, the spotlight was again on this problem. So drugs can be addictive, and obviously so is greed. And by the way, free drug samples, they're exempt from current law as being anyway improper. So what are the stats telling us? Well, in some United States, they actually publish the activity between doctors and pharmaceutical and medical device companies, so patients can actually find out about their doctor in these states. So the study was showing that, you know, the patients are less likely to revisit their physician who's taking kickbacks by about 34% to 66%. So the doctor loses about half of his clientele if they find out. You know, he's getting his palm greased. So you might want to check out your state's involvement with this type of disclosure. It's called Sunshine Law. And if you sign up for the newsletter at thepowerherbs.com, you get the hot link to stuff like this. So you can go check it out. But you would have to, do a search on Google to find the link. So it's hard to say how the repeal of the Affordable Care Act is going to affect the reporting on the Open Payments government site, and also how it's going to impact the Sunshine Law with regard to physician kickbacks. However, as Chris Wright pointed out, drug companies are going to find covert ways to bribe physicians anyway. Well, here's a quote from Genevieve Farm-Kenter, PhD at Drexel Dartmouth School of Public Health. She says, transparency can act as a deterrent for doctors to refrain from behaviors that reflect badly on them and are also not good for their patients. Yep, Dr. Fam Cantor's work has revealed that we have a serious problem among our medical practitioners. Patients entrust themselves to their care, and it appears that over half are not trustworthy. So that means that you have a 35% chance of selecting an ethical physician, but you had better be extremely diligent. Yeah? You may require you to actually look outside your insurance network or even seek other options. Well, you know, as Hippocrates said, if you are not your own doctor, you are a fool. So, you know, I recently got this call. I was telling my engineer about this before we went live. I got this call from a lady looking for the Power Herbs book, my book that I wrote. She wanted a hard copy. She had borrowed a friend's copy and she wanted her own. But the book's really out of print. It's only available now in an ebook format. So the caller said that the book is timeless with information and publishers should still be printing it. She's a little upset. And I thanked her for the compliment. And if I get some time put aside, I hope I can write a new herb book. I may have to hire somebody to help me because I am overwhelmed with what I got to do already. So in the meantime, the Power Herbs ebook is available for you if you want to begin your life-saving journey using herbs for your health. It's just $14.99, and you can find it at thepowerherbs.com. You can call Apothecary Herbs because they also offer the organic herb formulas in toxin removal and immune boosting with instructions, you know, to support your quest for better health. So give them a call to order or for a free product catalog. The number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277, or visit them at thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless because it puts the power back in your hands. Yep, don't forget, it's National Nutrition Month, the month of March, and you're going to save 10% on the Body Foundation food mix at thepowerherbs.com while supplies last. So check that out and get empowered. It's a powder. You just throw it in a smoothie, put it in vegetable juice or citrus juice, and just get all those vitamins and minerals, amino acids and plant proteins, all organic, to really fortify that system. Water soluble, so it's in the system in 60 seconds. So body doesn't have to work on digesting a pill. Or you don't even have to swallow a pill. I mean, who wants to do that? I don't like pills. Never have. I'm against them, unless I absolutely have to have one. ThePowerHerbs.com. Sign up for the newsletters. There's two. There's the American Survival that goes out on Tuesday, and, of course, Health Quest on Friday. So if you want a Health Quest copy, it goes out tomorrow. So you can jump on the PowerHerbs.com website and sign up for free. Just click on Books and Newsletters and put your newsletter in your cart and check out for free, and you'll be added to the list and be empowered. Yep, each week. Great information. Can't get it anywhere else. This is where it's at. All right, I know I got to take a break. We're going to come back from the break, though. We're going to be talking about how we can help your gallbladder. That's right. Gallbladder health news coming up right after the break. Right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you?
You will want the Power Herbs book filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
Being proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength, herbal organ cleanses, and body foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're going to talk about gallbladder health today. Yep. A lot of people have gallbladder problems, and you may have one and not know it yet. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine and National Institutes of Health, gallbladder disease, very common. Also very lucrative business, $5 billion for modern medicine to treat. So some of the reasons gallbladder disease is so common is because of obesity and the metabolic syndrome epidemic. So the likelihood that adolescents develop gallbladder disease has what was once considered rare, but not anymore. It's on the rise for them. Gallbladder cancer is also more prevalent. And most patients will be referred to a gastroenterologist to be diagnosed with gallbladder disease and maybe requiring surgery. So we're going to take a look at this very common problem where 20% of the U.S. population, that's 1 million diagnosed cases every year, and they have to seek medical intervention. Let's see how we can avoid that. Well, it tends to be a global problem. It's not just an American issue. Countries reporting a rise in gallbladder disease are the United States, Chile, Sweden, Germany, and Austria. So here is a clue that it really is a lifestyle type of disease, because in Arizona, 70% of the Pima Indian women have gallstones by the age of 30. And there is almost no gallbladder disease among Asians. And there is zero gallbladder disease in East Africa among the Massey people. So more women than men tend to develop gallbladder disease with an average age of about 54. Well, let's talk about the symptoms that your organ is now sick, because we've talked about the gallbladder condition many times before. And if there are symptoms, that there may be a problem. It's a progressive thing. It usually gets worse over time. So by the time your gallbladder gives you a major attack and you're rushed to the emergency room, you have ignored a whole bunch of symptoms by that time. Maybe you've thought it was something else. But typically what happens with gallbladder is when you eat, you may get a little heartburn. And then it progresses to a little twinge under the right rib. That's the gallbladder spasming a little bit. And then this pain when you eat may kind of shoot across the lower back or even over your shoulder. And then when it progresses further, you have those pains regardless of a meal. Okay? So the gallbladder produces all these symptoms. And what it is it's congested. The gallbladder is congested, may have a bunch of sludge and stones in there, and it's inhibiting the bladder from releasing its solution, its bile, which, is helpful for the body to dissolve fats, okay? So you need the gallbladder to do that. So an ultrasound can be helpful to determine the size of the gallstones. And so if it's your gallbladder, always find out from the doctor how large the stones are. They can actually measure them with an ultrasound. And preferably if they're small or smaller than a Cabanzo bean, you can flush them out. They'll slide out through the sphincter valve, and you can get rid of them that way. Another symptoms when you have the gallbladder flaring up, it's progressing, is you may have nausea and vomiting, abdominal bloating, a lot of flatulence, as well as sweating and chills or low-grade fever. You could even have a little yellowish color to your skin or your eyes because the gallbladder and the liver kind of work together in tandem. So, and also your stool could look a little gray colored. So look for that. Let's talk about the surgery. In the 1990s, the laparoscopic surgery was the new kind of surgery used to remove gallbladders. Approximately 600,000 gallbladder surgeries were being done each year, and the laparoscopic technique was nicknamed by surgeon Lap Chali. It's short for laparoscopic colonectomy. Can't speak today. I'm having trouble, Frank. Having trouble getting the words out. Okay, so today surgeons consider the gallbladder as an expendable organ with 800,000 of these gallbladder removals each year. Now, according to Dr. Pat Bass III, he says the laparoscopic procedure increased the number of gallbladder removals and it increased healthcare costs. So according to clearhealth.com, the cost of gallbladder surgery can be $95,000. So just over 12 hours at the hospital to remove your gallbladder Yeah, that's more than, what, $3,700 an hour then just to be there? That's some change right there. So if you happen to live in, let's say, Mesa, Arizona, the gallbladder surgery there costs $94,897 with insurance, or $14,223 if you're self-pay. See that big difference there? That ought to tell you something about the insurance industry and what it did to healthcare. So some hospitals offer 30-day prompt pay discounts of 40%. Yeah. So there's concern that the ease of the procedure has really increased the number of unnecessary gallbladder surgeries. So the procedure is not to be performed on patients with an inflamed gallbladder or if there is gallstones in the bile duct. So in such cases, surgeons have to revert to the standard procedure, which is just the cholecystectomy, and patients being counseled by their doctor about their gallbladder surgery are then advised that the bile will flow from the liver directly to the bile duct instead of the gallbladder once it's removed. So the gallbladder would store bile and in between meals, but once it's removed, that's not possible. So doctors tell patients this will have no effect on their digestion, but yes, it does. The gallbladder had a purpose. It stored the bile, and it released it in a timely fashion. Now it's just going to flow from the liver. There's no timely release of it. So now they're also told in the laparoscopic surgery, if they're going to remove the organ, it offers few, if any, complications to the patient. And they tell the patient you can resume your normal life routine within just a few days after your surgery. So gallbladder surgery is used to treat gallstones, but even after the organ's removed, patients can develop gallstones in the bile duct. Mm-hmm. So don't think that's the end of gallbladder stones. Well, let's look at the risks of the gallbladder surgery, because patients are told that overall the surgery risk is low. Removal of the gallbladder is no big deal. They get their lives back afterwards. But doctors who are honest will tell their patients they'll know what the risks are, and they do exit with any surgery, any type of surgery, especially gallbladder surgery. There's risk to it. They're different from any other surgery. So honest doctors will tell you, yes, there is risk. So at the University of Edinburgh in UK, they studied the risks of gallbladder surgery, and they published it in the 2012 British Medical Journal. So the UK has that socialized healthcare. And not all their facilities are well equipped to do this surgery, with about 60,000 that are done every year over there. So they reported that the risk of complication is going to be higher, especially if you're older, if you're at one of these facilities that doesn't have a lot of practice with this particular procedure. So the risk is higher also with heart patients and for patients with, in general, if the procedure is done at a facility that's, not used to doing them. So the general risks for gallbladder surgery are infection, internal bleeding, injury to the bile duct, injury to the small intestine, anesthesia risks, gallstones that are left in the abdomen cavity, bile leak into the abdominal cavity, which is rare, but it could injure blood vessels leading to the heart and liver because that bile is caustic. Also, you could have injury to the liver with an unintended cut. Yep. So what happens after surgery? Well, most patients are not prepared for the life-changing effects of not having their gallbladder. See, they were told it's all going to be good. Since there's no bladder to store the bile from the liver, the bile is constantly dripping into the intestines through the bile duct. And the purpose of the bladder was to store enough bile to help digest fatty foods. So there was these chemical signals released. When you ate something fatty, the gallbladder would release the bile. So patients find that they can't eat fatty foods anymore without having a lot of digestive discomfort. They get diarrhea, they get bloating, they get nauseous, they have indigestion and lots of pain. So also, antioxidants in vegetables are fat soluble. So they have trouble sometimes with those. So without a gallbladder, you won't be able to absorb many important nutritional compounds. That includes, you know, trying to digest even your supplement pills that you're taking. So I've often said that the liver and the gallbladder, they work in tandem, and if the liver's not healthy, it will encourage the likelihood of gallbladder stones and sludge within the gallbladder. So people these days like to post their experiences online, and on patient.info, that blog, patients were posting their experience after having their gallbladder removed after their surgery and how their recovery was going. And many have remained in pain and unable to return to their normal life. So here's one example. This is from somebody who posted, her name is Kay, and she says, I had my gallbladder removed 7 weeks ago. I had a laparoscopic procedure, and I'm in so much pain that they had to give me an epidural. Since the operation, I have been in pain, feel sick, can't eat. I experience excruciating pain up to an hour after eating food, and if I lie down in the same position for too long and stand up, it brings the pain there too. And I have bile taste in my mouth all the time, excessive sweating and fatigue. I experience this several times a day. I'm now told that I may need to have a stent put into my bile duct. Since the operation, my life is now a complete mess. Wow. So Kay is not doing well, obviously. So what are the reasons for the organ to be full of sludge? Well, modern medicine reports that lifestyle is one reason the gallbladder malfunctions. Other factors the organ fails is due to prescribed medicines, and these medicines increase the risk of liver and gallbladder disease. So also increases Crohn's disease and the destruction of red blood cells. So here's a brief list. If you're on an antibiotic called ceftriaxone, also known as Rocephsin, the antibiotic is prescribed for things like pneumonia, ear infections, skin infections, UTIs, urinary tract infections, gonorrhea, pelvic inflammation, sepsis, bone or joint infections, abdominal infections, and meningitis. So the side effects warn you of biliary sludge and gallstones, among other things. So always, always do your homework on the treatments recommended to you. Other things, this is an injected hormone blocker called oxatrextide, and it's prescribed for things like tumors and conditions of watery diarrhea. So the drug can negatively affect the gallbladder, the liver, the stomach, and your cardiovascular and pulmonary system. Also on the list were some hypertensin and congestive heart failure meds. Thiazide diuretics is what we're talking about. They cause liver dysfunction, and this affects your gallbladder. And also lastly, peritoneal nutrition, so nutrition administered to the body other than by the digestive system. So, you know, if you're in the hospital long term or in a rehab center, you get that IV drip with your nutrition dripping down. This increases the risk of a gallbladder sludge and stones by 100% if it's given over 6 weeks or longer. So be aware of that. So, you know, basically, when I was in herb school, I saw that, you know, toxin removal was a very important thing that people needed to learn and needed to be able to do for themselves, so they didn't have a buildup of toxins and on a cellular level create organ failure and malfunction and then put them at risk of having surgeries. So a majority of people do not know that they can avoid many of these internal medicine diseases, like gallbladder disease. And with some routine organ cleansing, you know, they can sidestep a lot of this heartache. So on a daily basis, we need to be very selective on what we eat and drink. So foods are nutritional and herbs are nutritional. They help cleanse the system. They have medicinal powers. So herbs are usually classified as a food by the FDA, but in other countries, they're called therapeutics. So medicinal herbs have the power to move body fluids, drought impurities, soothe irritated tissues, remove debris quickly, stimulate nerve endings, or calm them down. Also, they are able to improve immune system function, speed up tissue and organ regeneration, remove blockages, and expel parasites. You can also learn how you can flush out stones and a whole lot more. So medicinal herbs help the body to restore balance. So the key is to use your powerful herbs to get to learn how to use them, to know them, and not neglect them, or you're going to run the risk of conditions like gallbladder disease and becoming acute, then it's requiring surgical intervention. So we want to be smart while using our powerful herbal tools to cleanse and nourish the body. We don't want to recongest the system after we've cleansed it, so you want to keep that lifestyle healthy as possible. So there's a lot of toxins in the environment, so cleansing to get them out so it doesn't create a weakness and to invite disease is really important. And for those of you out there, when we talk about stone removal, this also applies to kidney stones. You know, you have the ability to prevent those as well, and those are very painful. So, you know, watch the soda. Soda is the number one culprit for kidney stones. It draws the calcium out of the bones and displaces it in the kidneys, causing the stones to form. So you want to restore balance. There are several herbs that help with restoring the liver and gallbladder to function normally, to flush out the stones. So if you think your risk of cancer is a factor, you can even add some dandelion root. So my favorite herbs for the liver gallbladder are milk thistle and barberry bark. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have a couple of choices there for you on the cleanses. If you think you have stones, then you would do what we call a gallbladder flush. And that's pretty easy to do yourself, and there's instructions that are sent to you. But it's real important to know the size of your gallstones so that you don't get them stuck. So that's important. If some stones are going to be too large to flush, and in those cases, maybe you can get some ultrasound laser treatment from your doctor to crush them, to break them up so you can pass them. So you want to be safe while you do procedures like this. And also, if you don't think you have stones, then, you know, the routine cleanse is a good way to, you know, keep things running smoothly. So you could do the Septown cleanse, which is very, you know, effective, but it's gentle. It's not hardcore. So you can give the call. You give the folks a call at Apothecary Herbs. They'll introduce you to their liver, bladder cleansing packs, and a lot of benefits there from these herbs. A lot of times herbs have dual purposes. So like barberry's good at inhibiting the shingles virus, for instance. So you've got tools. You might as well use them. God said herbs are here for the service of man, for the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, and visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. So we got a few minutes. So we're going to tap into a few things here on sulfur. But before I do, I want to remind you that it's National Nutrition Month, the month of March. So you're going to save 10% on the Body Foundation food mix from Apothecary Herbs. So you can save online or call them toll-free at 866-229-3663. If you're unfamiliar with the product, you can visit them online and see. But it is a powdered organic mix, and you can put it in juice or water to fortify the system. All organic. So there you go. All right, we're going to talk about sulfur real quickly, because we neglect this very important element. Our body has got sulfur in it, and we have a lot of minerals that we have in the system. And sulfur can sometimes be one of those mystery nutrients that can tip the scales in our favor. So your body uses sulfur to heal faster and also to move toxins out of the body quickly. Also, sulfur binds to antioxidants to make the antioxidant more effective. So it's like a synergistic effect. So in 1992, the Annals of Pharmacotherapy reported that sulfur protects you from radiation and ultraviolet rays and X-rays and amphetamines. So you would think that, you know, it protects you from all this. So it may be helpful, especially if you frequent tanning beds, right? Another benefit that we gain when we use organic sulfur is it protects us from heavy metals like aluminum. So it binds to the aluminum to remove it from your system. So scientific research has seen a correlation between aluminum and the rise in conditions like Alzheimer's disease and cognitive issues in children and young adults called ADD and ADHD. And I think it's because of the vaccines, but that's just me. Also, according to the European Union's AQ cell disorders, January 2016, they posted some information that sulfur has an important part to play in protecting you from heart disease. Dr. Stephanie Seneff of the MIT reports that if you have a shortage of sulfur, the body produces a molecule called cholesterol, sulfate. And without your sulfur, this molecule in the blood fluctuates and creates an unstable environment that can invite heart disease. So sulfur, pretty important. Also, it's very helpful if you got skin conditions. See all over the TV these, products that you can put on your skin for acne and whatever, dermatitis, rosacea. But none of the drugs will address the cause, which sometimes can point to a mineral imbalance of sulfur. And those that have weight gain issues, well, maybe you haven't considered sulfur, because in 2011, the Western Price Foundation considered the possibility that the lack of adequate organic sulfur could be pushing up the obesity rates in the U.S. They reported that Greece, Italy, and Japan don't have heart disease and obesity problems, but the U.S. does. An interesting correlation was on the west coast of the U.S., states of Hawaii and Oregon, they have more volcanic activity and more sulfur. They also have the lowest rates of obesity in the entire U.S. The higher rates of obesity in the U.S. were in regions where they had the lowest sulfur. So the Midwest, where agriculture is the prime business, has low sulfur and overworked soil, so people are more overweight there. High processed foods are essentially sulfur deficient, and there you go. So sulfur is important. Food sources that they're going to have some organic sulfur, are going to be cabbage, broccoli, your leafy green vegetables, collard greens, kale, grass-fed meat, nuts, salmon, wheat germ, and eggs. Now, of course, you want to make sure you get organic that has more mineral content like sulfur in it. So these foods contain sulfur that the body's going to use for healing. And research suggests that if you harvest your own foods, your family garden, and don't overcook them, you're going to get all the sulfur you need. And this, you will avoid a lot of health problems. Researchers at MIT are studying the sulfur. They say you want to avoid water softening systems because there's a higher incidence of heart disease compared to drinking water with more sulfur in it. Harder water seems to be better for you, apparently. So sulfur in there. There you go. Science Direct Journal says they have some high sulfur source foods, garlic and onions, superior source of sulfur compounds. So you can check that out. Big foods they eat in the Middle East, Asian, Mediterranean countries, so they don't have any sulfur shortages there. So let's just add some garlic, shall we, and some onion, which is cousin to the garlic, into the diet, and preferably organic. So if you're looking for some organic garlic juice, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. They also have the onion juice with the garlic juice in their all-in-one tonic, so you can check that out at thepowerherbs.com or give them a call, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. I am out of time, but I'll be back next week. Of course, I thank everybody for contacting me with health topics you want me to share, and I'll try to work them into the show. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, keep well. Oh.